The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
One, two, three, four.
It's the start of something beautiful. A small acquaintance has blossomed. It's ripened into a precious friendship. I could have never seen what was coming for me. Hangs at the skate park, hangs by the beach. My life, it feels like.
Everybody, welcome to My Brother, Me, an advice show for the modern era. Hold on one second before I start. Hey, Sid, I gotta do the podcast, babe. Can you take the, thanks.
My gum.
What I'm trying
to catch my gum. Yeah.
Sid always, yeah, we got the, yeah. Your Foley was so on point there,
was
Michael Winslow,
Foley?
That we got
like
exactly
the
with
Foley.
That goof. Yeah.
Vroom, sure. Vroom, what up, Trav Nation? It's me, your Miller's brother, Travis, Big Dog, Wolf, Wolf, Magra. Oh, your gum. Oh, you missed Sydney. Oh, joke. Sorry, it's stuck in my throat.
Hey, everybody, it's me, Graham McElroy, youngest brother.
Hold on, let me run this through the AI voice enhancer. Hey, everybody, it's me, Griffin McElroy, the youngest brother, built Ford Tough. So do you guys not know about his AI? About Adrian, capital A and I in his first name, Brody? You don't know about that?
Sorry, no, I didn't know about
that. He wins Griffin. Best Actor.
Okay.
Gets up there. Spits gum, throws at wife. Weird, wild choice that he made. He wins Best Actor. We find out that from the editor of the film, I believe, that they used AI to enhance the Hungarian accent of the actors in the film.
I didn't know you could do that.
Let's toss a fucking asterisk up there on that. You know how they raise the jerseys up inside of the, you know, Kodak party hall or wherever they hold the Oscars? Raise one up there, asterisk next to Mr. Brody's name, I think. It's only fair.
As I will say this, as one of the three brothers, the only one of the three that got a degree in acting from Fame School, being able do acting... It is like do accents is like a big part, one of the major things.
It's cheating because I don't know what he sounded like on the set. He could have been like, "Hi, I'm Adrian Brody. I love designing I know fucking nothing about The Brutalist. I know fucking nothing about The Brutalist, but I could win an Oscar if you run it through enough fucking filters.
It's not like doing. Doing some computer graphics to make it look like Superman's flying. I don't expect an actor to be able to do that. But
an accent?
That's the one thing we should know about Adrian Brody that we learned from SNL is you cannot give this man a microphone. You cannot give this man a microphone.
Or apparently gum or a partner.
Or room to breathe. You can't give this man space because if you let him follow his gut, it's going to take him to some odd places.
Some odd, dark valleys.
No Jamaican accents this time, but still some like.
Although
like
it is possible. He showed up day one of filming for The Brutalist, and he was like, time to design a city skyline, but in a terrible Jamaican accent that I won't even do as a joke. Yeah. And the director's like, what the fuck's he? It's okay, we'll AI it.
It's the only accent I have.
Yeah. And then Adrian Brody was like, it's not taking work away from anybody. Adrian, it's taking work away from you, man. It's taking work away from you. It's taking your work away, Adrian, that you'd had to do for the film.
Also, wild to say it's not taking work away from anyone, when I'm pretty sure that there are very talented actors out there who could do a Hungarian accent.
It's
like if I showed up at a restaurant and I said, I'd like to be chef now, I'm very charismatic, and they said, you are very charismatic, do you know how to chop things? And I said, no, can you get a chopping robot to do it for me?
Exactly.
Why didn't we just get a chef who knows how to chop things?
Now, Now, how do we feel? How do we feel about the turn that music off? I know what I'm doing. Let me finish my speech. It's not my first rodeo. How do we feel about that? Because a lot of the elements of his presentation that evening were pretty rowdy in a way that I found distasteful.
I feel like it's such an incredible read. I think it's such an incredible read at this time on Earth to say, no, don't let the globe keep a turning right now.
Yep.
Lord, please let us slow down and just appreciate the Adrian of it all for just a few more minutes. Please, God, let us just marinate in this Adrian Brody focused moment. It's been a long time since we as a globe have stopped. And you know what? Of all the things that we could do right now, Adrian, you're right. We all should give it a little bit longer to just really stew in the Adrian Brody-ness of the moment.
I bet that the production staff of the Oscars was so thrown because no one's ever asked to not play the music and give them more time before. So they were probably like, whoa. He asked, guys, we should turn the music off and let him keep talking. We didn't realize he was still going or we wouldn't have started the music.
It's definitely happened before, but this time I mean, it's Hollywood.
This time it meant something because it's Adrian Brody, guy. Do you know how hard, do you guys know how long he has had to work to get back to this point again where he is once more being honored for being the best actor in the world? Do you know how hard he's had to fight to make this happen yet again for himself? What is it about Timothy Chalamet that I can still feel bad for him when he loses an Oscar? He's 15 years old. He's in all of the Best Picture nominees.
Wearing bright yellow.
He's wearing bright yellow. He's got $800 bajillion. He's funny and charming. Like, he seems to just be like a genuinely nice human being. He knows about sports, which, Tim, for me, that was where you lost me. That was a bridge too far.
I think the thing...
Why is it that I still, when he gets passed over for an Oscar, am like, ah, man, Tim?
Because everybody feels comfortable referencing Timothy Chalamet. Everybody, I felt like every joke, every speech, every bit, they're like, he's got a great last name that's fun to say in a bit.
So fun.
And look at him. Everybody knows who Timothy Chalamet is. So everybody's referencing
him. Stop for a second right there. I think that what you just said is actually so important.
Mm-hmm.
And I do actually want to stop and touch on this for a second.
Hang a lantern
We are living in an increasingly fractious world and nation where there seems to be, obviously, we waved bye-bye to the monoculture long ago.
Yeah. Sure.
And we are now in a more fractious period of culture where we're not really united.
No.
I will say this, and I'm probably not telling you anything you don't know, but I will say this. I feel like through his participation in Dune, and in the Bob Dylan movie,
and Wonka,
and Lady Bird,
but the other ones.
Oh, okay.
I feel like maybe
you heard it. Hey Tim, did you hear that? You sucked shit in Wonka and Lady Bird.
What I'm saying is, like, we used to have this idea of movies that would appeal to everybody.
Yes,
we used to have this idea. That's gone.
That's
what I'm saying is Timothy Chalamet may be the only person that everybody knows, right?
Like, the last.
It may be the one thing that, like, generationally, we all kind of know who Timothy Chalamet is. And I would say generationally, he probably has, like, favorable approval ratings. You know what I mean? Like, I want to cling to those things that we can all still agree on. And I pray that, I just hope and pray.
Even
Timothy Chalamet may continue to be that little strand. You know,
I would make him. To your point, Justin, I think parents, grandparents, children alike can get together and they could just start listing off names of people they would like that they have some frame of reference for. And
Charlie,
I think
Travis, I'm sorry, just listing off names of people. End of sentence.
Yes. And Timothy Chalamet would be the only one that all three would be like, well, yeah.
Yeah,
I know who that is.
They're going to rename the Venn diagram the Timothy Chalagram because it's just that's what he is. It's just like that's all it represents. He's the one unifying thing that we can all like. Yeah, like Timothy Chalamet. You guys know about him. And everybody's like,
But doesn't get an Oscar.
Doesn't need one.
Yeah, but doesn't need one. And also, can I say, Travis, I don't know if the Oscar upsets this delicate, delicate balance that Tim has established, right? Like, I can't risk. Maybe we need him to be an underdog. You know, maybe we need him to be fighting for acceptance. Maybe, like, that's the thing that pushes him over out of relatability. He somehow managed to maintain it. And, like, maybe that would be the breaking point.
He's a waif with crossover appeal. If he gets too many accolades, all of a sudden, now
like
he's
Tom
big time.
Hanks.
Like Tom Hanks, now he's big time chops.
Yeah, Tom Hanks won like 16 Oscars in a row or something, and then everyone was like, okay.
Joe versus
And then he was in
Volcano.
Cloud Atlas.
That's another Oscar winning
I don't think he won for Cloud Atlas. We all won.
We all won with that movie in a lot of ways. It was like nine movies.
You were on a cruise during this Oscars. How did you intake the Oscars this year? How did you catch up with Oscar mania?
Last night when I got back. And it was sucked, guys, because I'll tell you why. Everyone was talking about Adrian Brody throwing his gum at his wife, and everyone was talking about, but they were talking about it in a way where it's like, we already talked about Adrian Brody throwing his wife gum.
We didn't know. And Griffin, it's still, I think, worth mentioning that Adrian Brody, before he went up to do his big speech, was like,
before getting a lot of honor and recognition, decided to spread that honor and recognition around by chucking his chewed ass gum.
Chewed ass gum, who I heard a on the rest of entertainment, she said that it she caught it like it was a wedding bouquet.
It's pretty brutal.
You get the next Oscar.
I heard that there was spooky music played for some reason during the In Memoriam segment, which I haven't heard or seen. But
it was
that
like
sounds
a weird
good.
Dirge. Yeah,
cool. I'm into that. Yeah. See, that's it's not about melancholy for me. That moment should be a warning. It should be a grounding moment of clarity for everyone in that theater of like, enjoy these honors, enjoy your flowers, because, you know,
you never know. You never know.
I'll
say there were some twists and turns in that In Memoriam. Some people came up and it was news to me. Yeah, there's a couple of those that hit me.
I hate when they throw twists in there.
Rob Lowe, was favorite quotes, Rob Lowe said, every time in a movie or TV show, I open a door and smile. I always wonder if that's the clip they'll use for the In Memoriam.
I'm late to the party. Everybody is so fucking tired of talking about this shit, which sucks because it's been the first 12 minutes of content in this episode of podcasting.
Yeah, but we're here now. And
I got it out of my
system.
I thank you, boys. You guys are
Outlet. At my school, a bathroom was just shut down because a kid drew too many penis on the walls. I think you're the only ones who can answer the pressing question. How many penises must be drawn in a high school bathroom for it to be shut down? Is there a certain limit you can have before it gets to be too much? What is the proper punishment for this crime? That's from In Distress in Indiana. And congratulations on finding a question that it is exactly at our skill level. This is
perfect. Exactly
right. Where we are qualified to operate.
Let's just go down the line. Zero? No. There's no problem. One penis. Normal. This is one of the worst options, I feel, because people are going to be curious about it. Maybe they haven't taken health class yet, and they don't know what's going on there. They don't know what that thing is.
Also, in this regard, I will say, in this circumstance, size does matter.
Yeah.
One giant penis drawn on the wall?
Sure.
I want to be careful for this discussion that we don't get into the question of size. Because, the person asked for a number, and I feel like we can arrive at the number.
Absolutely.
If we bring size into it scientifically. So here's what I'll say. Starting from zero, that one's easy.
Can we just establish, though, let's use just frame of reference for size. Big enough to see.
Big enough to see.
Big enough to see.
This is not a Where's Waldo hidden penis.
You would not miss it. If you, on a regular bathroom visit, you would clock.
You'll clock it. Yeah.
Okay.
But small enough that you don't go like, wow, that's a big picture of a penis.
Wow. Right. Not a mural.
So here's what I would say.
Right, exactly.
First one is fine because first one, you have plausible deniability. First one, you can say, that's not a penis.
Okay.
Huh. Right?
Okay. I'll also say this. First one is like, that could have been a situation where someone sat down in the stall with no intent of drawing a penis, but looked around and was like, there's no penis doodle anywhere. So I guess I'll put one on here.
Yeah.
Compulsory.
Just to be scientific about this, I'm going to ask a question that I don't even know needs asking. this is assuming testicles are present as well, right? That when you're drawing it.
Trav, I love you so much, pal. Have you ever seen that before? Have you ever just seen a shaft doodle, pal, with a the balls are the
reason. No, this is what I'm saying.
What I'm saying, Travis, is that a lot of the time a penis drawing...
Don't ask a question you don't want an answer to, okay. Trav. Let him answer you.
A lot of the time, a penis drawing starts because you start drawing something, and you're like, that looks like balls.
Right.
And then you do the rest of it based off of that. The idea that someone would draw a just shaft and then would be like, done, is wild. That's never happened in the history of humankind. So
right. I just don't want us to get too far down the road of speaking about it in the specific terms of a penis and not including a unit.
The first one is actually the hardest one to get past. Like, excuse me. Like,
yeah. Like, no, that's what I'm saying. It's one of the worst options. Because
it's one of the worst
ones,
but it is like you're not going to shut it down for one, right?
Yeah. No, correct. I don't think you will.
Okay.
Now, two. I do think it's more likely that you would see standalone.
Sorry, are we
balls.
Staying on one? I just want to be clear. Are we still on one, or did
I
you
just
want to
explore the possibility of standalone balls drawings over standalone shaft drawings? I think that that would be much more commonplace. But really, you gotta
and
you
not
gotta,
germane gotta to the discussion, which is already protracted.
Two is like totally inoffensive to me. If I see two, it's like okay.
It almost blends in with the geometry. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's almost like the textures that they designed for this bathroom had two
pieces. Yeah, that's
cool.
And it's kind of nice because now they're not lonely.
You do think that. Nice. They have, oh, look at those friends, you think. And then you spend the rest of your toilet time thinking about your friends. And that's
cool. I
would
say like two and three, not to like lump this together, but like two and three, I appreciate because it removes for me the pressure to go clean up the one.
Yeah.
If there's one, there's the stress of like, I should really go get the magic eraser and clean that up. Now, if I see three, I'm like, oh God, it's a bathroom. You know?
When I see three, though, I assume they're gossiping, though, and that is, that gets to be a little distracting.
For me, when I see three, I have the thought, starting to be a lot of penises in here. I have the thought of like
so three is your life.
Three is not the cat.
Hot ones territory. Three is like okay.
I'm not gonna tear down the stall and smash the toilet for three, but I will have the thought, I hope this doesn't go any farther. Because
no, that is a tipping point though. Because here's the thing. Think about that gum wall, you know, in I think it's in San Francisco, Seattle, the gum wall at the market.
Yeah.
If you put one piece of gum on there, someone's just to face that wall. Two pieces of gum. Okay, now, but after three, it's starting to be a thing now.
Guys, this is so, the important work that this show does is it finds truths that are truths that we didn't know are here. Because, guys, I'm thinking about four penises in a bathroom, and I'm going ape shit.
Yeah.
No, here's what I'll say.
Like, the lunatics are running the asylum. Yeah. We are in absolute shutdown mode.
This is why it must be shut down, too. After three, the tipping point from three to four, students are now leaving to go to the bathroom. Just to add another penis to the wall.
That's what I'm saying. In,
yeah, it's a joke now.
There's four on the wall, there's not going to be four on the wall for very long.
Yeah.
That's why I will say, if you ever see a bathroom stall with four penises drawn on the wall, enjoy it, buddy, because someone's going to get up there and make it five real soon, and then six,
four on the
and
wall,
then seven.
Great start to fall. That's what I always say.
Yeah.
So four. If you see three, that's not too many, but you need to clean then. Before four gets there.
Now, this is interesting, guys. Here's what I discovered. I'm more comfortable with five.
Whoa.
Because it feels like five has reached a sort of pagan stabilizing power. Right?
Sure, sure.
It feels like there's a sort of like pagan energy that is being summoned by the sort of like de facto pentagram drawn by five.
Now,
five feels like in harmony with nature. And it feels like
that's
if
the
we
only
can just
one
get to five and stabilize.
That's
we'll
it.
Be okay.
It's the only number post three that is like okay. It's like one, cool. Two, friends. Three, four, too much. Five,
now
gentle pagan energy. six through infinity.
Too
that's
many.
Too many dicks.
If
dude.
If the five penis units have been drawn four side by side, standing up and down, and then one drawn across as a slash mark. Now we know that's a complete unit.
Well, we can't even talk about of arrangement, right? Because if you had four penises on the wall, clearly that's a time to pant. Let me finish.
Thank you.
Finish.
If there's four penises on the wall, that's when you start to panic. But if they're drawn in like a cool Voltron, like they connect Voltron style and they form like a bigger dude, like obviously you're going to be like, wow, that's like a lot of these rules are suspended if they are beautifully drawn.
Yes.
Numbers, now, that people see, like appreciate.
If it becomes
that,
like
right?
a mandala and people are adding the penises
oh, God,
to it, beautiful
an infinite
geometric
fractal
rounded shapes.
Of penis.
If you had six penises.
Uh-huh. I'd go to the doctor.
But the school had been open for 60 years,
oh,
and each
wow.
of the peni represented a different decade of the school's
oh,
history.
That's
like,
cool.
It was like in a uniform or a clothing style.
Era-appropriate, mm-hmm, some right. mascot. I don't know what the mascot of the school is.
Yeah, maybe a
man.
Speech bubble encapsulating
like
a description of a
hang
news
loose.
Event.
Like a, yeah, a, groove, yeah, yeah, a groovy penis for the 70s.
Groovy, man.
Yeah.
So if I see that... And I'm like coming in as the vice principal of discipline or whatever. And I yeah. see that at Clarkson Community College, where I myself attended, and I see those 60 years of history represented on the wall. Then
touching.
For me, I'm like, well, I'm touched. You know
a
what I mean?
Tribute.
Like, that's kind of beautiful.
Well, and what's beautiful about that, too, is your assumption is if only one goes up a decade, someone's chosen, whether probably not by staff, but by the student body. There's someone, mm-hmm. because you can't just go in there and doodle it on your own, because people will see it and be like, that does not capture this decade at all. Why'd you do that?
No.
You need somebody who rises, not elected as a student body leader, but rather a naturally born leader to draw the penis on the wall.
So if you do six historical ones, you're fine. Now, seven, yeah. that to me, guys, starts to feel claustrophobic. I'm starting to feel like, where do I look where I'm not looking at a wiener now
there's
at that
a,
point?
The toilet could be perfectly clean. Could be spotless, like you don't see them anymore. Perfectly clean, which for me is like green flag, time to go. I'm not going to have to do any sanitary work myself mm-hmm. in order to make this thing romp ready. But I shut the door and there's seven fucking pink wieners in there, man. I can't stay. That's too much for me.
Yeah,
that's
seven
too much.
Feels
I'm freaking out.
Seven feels predatory. Here's the thing that this is a really important point now that we've reached here at eight, because the science tells us that the reason phone numbers are seven digits long.
Yeah.
They used to be, you know, seven is about the biggest number that we can hold in our hand. Like seven digits in our
in
brain,
our head.
Rather, not in our head. In my hand, I can hold lots, but
yeah,
in my head,
I've seen you hold all kinds of
lots
big numbers,
of numbers
in your
all
hand.
Kinds
you're
of
very strong.
In my high school graduation photos, I was holding a big 99.
Yeah,
I was looking cool. So, what, Griffin? Did you have something? I heard a little noise,
I sneezed.
It was a sneeze.
Yeah, a little one. Hmm. What were you saying?
I don't know.
About
forgot.
Eight? Sorry, so you're saying we can't hold
eight
numbers?
Is the, once you see, you can't count that number anymore. So like eight mm-hmm. through infinity, or I think is like, can't even process. It's all penises. Like, you can't distinguish at that point between eight and nine. The mind can't distinguish.
Yeah. That's fair, because then the kid comes back from a bathroom break. It's been 45 minutes, maybe an hour. And the teacher's like, you were gone a really long time. And they're like, I got lost in the penises. I was trying to hold them all eight in my mind at the same time, and I simply couldn't. And I just lost time in there. And
yeah.
I can't remember math now.
Sorry, Griffin, go ahead.
No, it sounds like you had a thing.
No. At what point? Please ask.
At what point does it cross back over?
Sure.
Cross it into the point of, like, genuine fear? Like, unable to comprehend how this many discrete penises
so, yes,
have fit.
There
like,
are
if there's 900 penises on the yeah. wall, you walk in and be like, Principal Wilson, you better get in here.
But
like, about
if
it, like,
there's
a
900...
horror, like a horror movie, help written on the wall once. Oh no, help written 100 times around
no
the room.
No fucking way,
but if,
man.
But yeah. if there's 900 penises of various shapes and sizes,
like a wallpaper,
artistic styles,
yeah.
on the ceiling,
well,
suddenly it's like. They should have sent a poet, you know,
yeah,
like
the Dictine Chapel. Yeah,
yeah.
Man.
At that point, you're like, you're not going to paint over it. That's a good. The other number, and this is actually this one you need a graphing calculator for. So it is size dependent.
Okay.
But there's a number at which you draw so many penises that it becomes a sort of camouflage.
Yeah.
Where you can draw them on yourself, draw them on the walls. It's like razzle dazzle.
Yeah.
Where the patterns you can no longer discern as penises.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter as much.
I would say there's also a tipping point where there are so many penises on the wall that they stop being individuals and becomes one battalion of penis, right?
Yeah.
Where it's just like, that's the army of penis, right? When it moves from like 5 people, 20 people to just one army.
Yeah.
Right? There would be a saturation point reached where all you think about is like a singular unit of units.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man.
So not, I mean,
I think four is the lowest number.
4 and 8 are bad.
If it hits 4, you need to take action.
Yeah. 4, 1, 2, 3.
If it goes past 4, don't take action and wait until it gets back 5 to 8. At that point, you've got to take action again.
Did we like 6?
6 was good because that could be a historic.
You're right.
You
if it's 6, it could be a historic
six, historical thing. 6 is great, too. Yeah. There's a rhyming thing
and then
there.
7 is lucky. And then
close
8,
to God.
8 is where things start to get pretty thorny.
Okay. Yeah.
So 4, blank, 8 through 899.
The second you see 4, because if you take your time getting your bucket and magic razor and you come back in, there's 5, you missed your window.
You missed your window.
And if they're drawn on the windows. That's another problem, because people can see that from outside.
That had to be the whole episode, right?
Let's
punch the clock, boys.
No,
we've
earned our chance to earn our money, Griffin. That's all we've earned. Let's take a trip on over to the money zone.
Do you want to showcase your dick-related art?
Not I don't in a
stop
so.
Man, try well, it again.
So. No, okay.
Do it a different way.
Another try. Let's do. We could do like an improv
the president
game
of the company.
We could do like an improv game and be like,
imagine
another
president of Squarespace is on the call with us, Travis, and try it again.
Okay, Justin, you be the president of Squarespace. Okay,
hey,
you ready?
Hold on a second. I
who
don't
I,
know
who
name.
Do
I'm
I get
not
to
gonna
look it
up?
You're
I'm
my
not
boss,
do
Griffin.
Any bit.
Wait, I'm your boss, and he's the president of Squarespace.
I'm his boss.
So he's watching. No, the president of Squarespace is observing the call.
Yeah, but why is your boss there?
You're my boss. We're doing a scene.
Okay.
The president of Squarespace is sitting in the audience watching the scene.
I get it, but my role feels like pretty tacked on, if I'm being honest. I don't know why your character needs a boss.
Because I'm coming in, we're doing a scene. Can we just see how it goes?
Yeah, I'm struggling because I thought that this was going to...
Boss!
Yeah, what is it, pal?
We got too much product, and how do we get it out there so people can see it and people can buy it? If only there was a way we could display it.
No, you're wrong. You've fucked this so wild. Like, Justin was saying you do the ad like the Squarespace guy is here, and then you were like,
you
okay,
said an improv game.
Griffin's my bot. Yeah, but it has to be germane to what... The ad was and what we
yeah,
like you still got to do
I'm
an
saying,
ad.
How do we get our products and services out there?
No,
you're supposed
no,
to say
no. Now you folded me into the content.
You were
of the,
you. You were you.
You were
the
you.
No, I wasn't. I don't have a
you
boss.
You were you.
That's what I'm saying. I don't need to be here. You don't have a boss. It's you, Travis.
I'm the boss of Squarespace.
All right,
okay?
Let me set up.
It's just being me. It's not an improv game.
Let me set up the sketch, okay? Travis is doing a Squarespace ad.
Are you
Can I get like
if
a
an improv actor says that their name is the same as their name, but they're pretending to do something they wouldn't normally do? That's not improv.
I need something someone would do at a party. What's something someone would do at a party?
Record
a Squarespace
fucking
copy points.
That's something I do at a fun party.
Okay. Hey, fellow guests of this party, this podcast is brought to you by Squarespace this week. Squarespace gives you everything you need to offer services and get paid all in one place. Please use a coaster over there. Thank you very much. Get paid on time with professional on-brand invoices and online payments. I see you two over there. Let's save the PDA, okay? My mom could be home any minute. Plus, streamline your workflow with built-in appointment scheduling and email marketing tools. Hey, leave that face alone. That was my grandma's.
Hey, Trav.
Yeah?
It's me.
Yeah.
Your boss. What the fuck are you doing, man?
I'm at a party and I was doing.
Yeah, but you're not at a party. You're sitting at your desk. You're sitting at your desk. You're at your desk and I'm watching.
Trying to do like a one man improv scene.
But why? This isn't just one of us said the word improv and it planted an evil RFK worm in your fucking gourd. And then you spun off, you spun out and away from the ship. And I want to get you back in the ship.
Excuse me, Griffin, was it? Hi, Mark Spotify. Your brother was in the middle of the greatest ad read I've ever heard in my goddamn life.
Why is it Mark Spotify? Why is it Mark's
idea that you would interrupt?
Unrelated.
You're the CEO of Squarespace, sitting in on the call. You had a role already.
So you think
why are you guys fucking
Mark
this up so much? This is easy. This is a fucking grounder.
His last name could be Spotify, unrelated to his job.
Yeah, but it's not. It can't
be. I had Spotify open in another tab. And
why did you have Spotify open in another tab while we're recording our podcast?
Are you grooving to some tunes, dude? Hey, I don't play white noise and I hear you guys too good. So I gotta have some like...
Love that Spotify white noise. Jesus, man. Just finish.
They also have cutting-edge design. Squarespace offers a complete library of professionally designed and award-winning website templates with options for every use and category, intuitive drag and drop editing, beautiful styling options, unrivaled visual design effects, no experience required. Head to squarespace.com/mybrother for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use offer code MYBROTHER, all one word, to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Aw, man, someone set fire to my mom's rug. Party's over.
Grounded. Hey, let's talk about Rocket Money.
If you're ready to blast off.
You do this one, Mr. Big Shits.
Absolutely unhinged that you would come
no,
for
you,
me like
you're
that.
You're busting into mine, giving me notes. You show me how it's done.
You asked for notes.
Go on, King
you
Bird.
You asked for improv. You said you're the boss. Justin, you okay?
Yeah, I just saw this energy, the
no,
pivot.
I'm just saying,
guys, I'm just trying to make a podcast
shit,
with my brother.
Shit mountain.
I'm big shits, and that's true. That's true about me. I'm King Big Shits.
You've got to change your name.
I can't.
That's been his username since AOL Instant Messenger days, and you know it.
Yeah, it's my first Xbox gamer tag, and all my Halo guys thought it was so fucking funny.
King Big Shits.
King Big Shits is here to tell you that it's time to get your finances organized. And it's time to prioritize what matters most, like financial wellness. Rocket Money helps you do exactly that. Look, I'm not going to bullshit you.
He's not King Bullshit.
No, I'm King Big Shits. And one of the ways that I take big shits is by subscribing to applications, usually because one of my kids asks me to, I promise I'll play Doodle Kitchen 9 for the rest of my life. $15 a month sounds pretty good. It did, but that you can't stop my kids from. And anyway, I'll subscribe to shit and I'll forget, and then I'll be paying for it. And then Rocket Money will be like, "Did you remember about?" It'll be like, I don't even remember what Doodle Shit 5 is, but I am apparently paying $15 a month for it. Rocket Money will like help get me out of that situation because it's a personal finance app that helps find and cancel your unwanted subscriptions, monitor your spending, and help lower your bills so you can grow your savings. You guys know about this.
We do. We do. I'm looking at my Rocket Money app right now. It's telling me some bills I got coming up. It's telling me some things I could cancel, some the ways I've been spending money lately. It's kind of like an all-in-one place to manage your finances.
And it makes me feel responsible for the first time in my life. Like, I could be King Big Shits one day.
Okay. Yeah. We are three of over 5 million users. Rocket Money saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions.
Half of that was Justin's.
Yeah. Saving members up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions and reach your financial goals faster with Rocket Money. Go to rocketmoney.com/mybrother today. That's rocketmoney.com/mybrother. rocketmoney.com/mybrother.
And that's why he's King Big Shits, folks. That was amazing, Griffin.
I shit him right over the plate.
I'm just really proud, Griffin.
Thanks. Yeah. No, I did I did a good job.
Hey, it's John Moe from Depression Mode. Every week on our show, we have honest, humane conversations with artists, entertainers, and experts about what it's like to live with an interesting mind. I just interviewed Gavin Rossdale from the band Bush. You might be wondering, what would a successful, handsome, popular musician know about mental health? Turns out, lots.
All the time, we're forced into happy situations, sad situations, challenging situations. Happy, sad, challenging. And it just never ends. And why should it? You know, we're just the sum of all these journeys.
Check out Depression Mode with John Moe every Monday at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Have you been looking for a new podcast all about nerdy pop culture? Well, I have just the thing for you. Secret Histories of Nerd Mysteries.
Secret Histories of Nerd Mysteries is a weekly pop culture history podcast hosted by me, host Austin.
And me, host Brenda. We've already tackled mysteries such as what happened to the puppets from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? Is Snoopy Mexican? And why do people hate Barney so much?
From theme parks to cartoons to 80s, 90s, and 2000s nostalgia, we tackle it all.
Check us out every Tuesday on MaximumFun.org and wherever you get podcasts.
No, 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 no.
Okay.
Okay. I want a munch.
Squad.
I want to munch.
Squad.
Welcome to Munch Squad. It's a podcast within a podcast profiling the latest, greatest in brand eating.
God, I missed so much while I was at sea. I missed so much in the fast casual world. I'm so excited for the brief.
That's why they call it fast, Gravent. Don't move slow.
Taco Bell rolled out a new all cheese shell that was seen by so many people on TikTok. Judging by my mentions, I think everybody already saw it because I was tagged over 200 times in this Taco Bell video.
How's your brand doing, Justin?
It's going just the way I want it to. So I'm not going to talk about that.
You said all cheese, so it's just a big slab of fried cheese?
I just said I'm not going to talk about it.
Okay.
So don't try to trick me. I hate it.
I mean, you brought it up.
Okay. I missed it while I was at sea, and I asked for the news, and you were like, everyone knows the news. This is the Oscar talk all the fuck over again. I'm never leaving
my... I love when Adrian Brody spit a big wad up. A wad of cheese into his girlfriend's hand, like a baby, like a toddler who had taken a bite of something they didn't want anymore.
He produces those in his dairy sack.
Sorry, wait one second. I just got to get the... There we go.
What?
Travis, can you read the top?
Arby's Potato Cakes pre-class action lawsuit. Are you or a loved
That's
one?
All you get.
Oh.
Wow, you closed
That's
it.
That's all you get.
Justin just screen shared something and then closed it real fast. Like he's
Arby's has announced the return of the fan favorite potato cakes to the menus nationwide, and they will sue themselves if they go off the menu.
What?
Okay, yes. Like, so Arby's, it's like Arby's establishing a partner to make sure that they don't like look at pornography or something.
Oh, an accountability partner.
Yes. Right now, Arby's is doing the thing in the werewolf movie when they're like, if I get out of this cage, shoot me with this gun.
Yeah.
Because exactly. I will kill everyone you know. Arby's says, okay, the iconic golden, perfectly seasoned Arby's potato cakes are officially back on the menu. Now, if you don't know what these are, because you've never been to Arby's, they're hash browns. They're a little triangular hash browns. And you could get them instead of fries at Arby's, and you haven't been able to, and now they're back. Potato cakes recently made a comeback, only to disappear again, leaving customers on an emotional roller coaster. That's why this time, the return of potato cakes is backed by the creation of a pre-class action lawsuit.
Justin Tyler, why are they writing this like they disappeared and they don't know how or why?
Yeah.
We went one day into the big vat where we keep them. All the dang things were just gone.
We boned you guys. That's it. We boned
It's
you.
Weird when you think about, oh, it must have been supply chain issues. For potatoes?
For potatoes?
I hope not.
It seems like we got those coming out our, if you'll forgive it, ears.
That's corn.
I know. That's why it's a,
that's why
a
I asked
thinker.
For forgiveness. It doesn't make any sense.
Oh, okay. After potato cakes returned briefly to the Arby's menu in 2024, July, there was an outpouring of excitement from fans who made it clear this menu item is a must-have. Mm. But then guests were disappointed when their favorite snack disappeared.
When? Because July wasn't that long ago, you guys.
No. They were very disappointed, Travis. It says right here, they don't have the data, but anecdotally, guests were super, super distressed. Arby's heard them loud and clear, and now the fan favorite potato cakes are here to stay.
Okay.
Arby's is back in that promise
now,
with some serious protection.
What this press release presupposes is that while these fans loved these potato cakes, now that they've had them taken away from them once.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They would be too scared to indulge in them again now that
right.
they're back.
Sure. Don't want to trust
that they'll be taken away again, that there will be Charlie Brown and Lucy holding a potato cake, and she's saying, kick the potato cake or whatever. Don't and so Arby's is saying, don't be scared, potato yeah. cake fans. We are legally obligating ourselves to make money off of you by selling these potato cakes to you.
Yeah.
So here's the deal. Arby's fans can now sign up, or ostensibly anyone. Arby's fans can now sign up to be part of a pre-class action lawsuit. If potato cakes are removed from the menu before December 31st, 2026, Arby's will pay out $1 million worth of Arby's food to be split amongst the signees. No menu boy. Item return has ever been this ironclad, and since Arby's isn't planning to remove potato cakes from the menu ever again, those that sign up to be part of the pre-class action lawsuit can also redeem a DoorDash code to receive free delivery and two-piece potato cakes from February 27th. To a time that has passed.
So,
apologies.
So do they? Did they put out a press release alongside this that says Arby's pleased to announce that potato cakes will be taken off the menu January 1, 2027, guaranteed. No one wants this particular potato shape. We had this one potato shape going for a while that people were crazy about. Real tiny, slender, ketchup dippable guys. So we are going to get these bad boys off of here just as soon as it is financially and legally listen, convenient for us.
Here's what you do, folks. Everybody, sign this thing, and then nobody buy the potato cakes.
Oh, force them to take it off.
But they'll need to have them on hand in case somebody
That's
does,
good.
Right?
Yeah.
It's really good.
And then the day that you walk in and you say, can I have some potato cakes? And they say, we don't have any. You say, gotcha. And you serve them. And you say, I know I came to Arby's, but you've been served. And then you'll probably get like $1.25 out of it.
Real talk? I think it'll be more than that. This is what I want to say. Knowing what I know about how many people participate in these fast food promotions, which is to say next to none, I think if you got in here and you won this particular gamble, you're going to be walking away with at least $800-900 worth of Arby's.
Yeah, you're
going
to be feeling pretty good.
And that's enough to no, you're not going to be feeling pretty good. You're going to eat $800 to $900 worth of Arby's food, and you're going to build a little house on the on top of the toilet where you live.
Sort of improvised shelter.
Uh-huh. It keeps you and the things you do in, and it keeps the outside world out. That's your shell of shame.
We know our guests are passionate about our potato cakes, and we want to honor that loyalty by keeping them on the menu permanently, says Jeff Baker, the CMO at Arby's. We're excited to finally announce their return and prove to all our guests that we listened to their pleas on social media, and we aren't going to let Arby's get away with removing potato cakes from the menu ever again. And we aren't going to let... Yeah, he says, we aren't going to let... I didn't misread it. We aren't going to let Arby's get away with removing potato cakes from the menu ever again. We've always been at war with Eurasia, and we're never taking away your potato cakes, America.
Smee. Smee, stop me. Smee, stop me, Smee. Stop me. Damn it, Smee.
I'm giving them the potato cakes against me. So Arby's has a number that I can call here to get more information.
Yeah.
So I am. I mean, it has to be a recording, right?
There's That's a big gamble.
I know. 833-529.
Don't talk, sorry.
833-529.
It's 833 Lost Bud. I don't think they're too worried about it.
Lost Bud? Not LOSSBUD, though. I'm your Lost Bud.
Don't talk.
Hello, and thank you for calling the Arby's Potato Cakes pre-class action lawsuit hotline. Potato cakes are back at Arby's. Arby's is seriously, not so seriously, preparing a pre-class action lawsuit against Arby's in the event that Arby's removes potato cakes from the Arby's menu in the future. Arby's won't let Arby's get away with it. Please join to ensure you receive any possible future settlement should potato cakes be removed from the Arby's menu. Please visit arbyspotatocakeslawsuit.com. Thank you. Goodbye.
Sorry, but the user's mailbox can't accept more messages.
Wow, they really committed to the bit, huh?
They sure. That's a good use of a phone number.
I mean, we're not doing anything else with phone numbers. We might as well call Arby's.
There's only 999,999,999 phone numbers. And so that's one way to use it.
Okay, there's There's literally a part of this where it says,
"Are you signing up? Are you getting? Are you going to get your money?"
I'm reading this pre-class action lawsuit.
Absolutely signing up. Are you kidding me?
And it says, Arby's may, in its sole discretion and at any time, discontinue this site or any part thereof with or without notice, or may prevent your use of this site with or without notice to you. You agree that you do not have any rights in this site and that Arby's will have no liability to you if this site is discontinued or your ability to access the site or any content you may have posted on the site is terminated.
You know that whoever came up with this campaign got a letter from the Arby's lawyers, and they were like, "Ah, oh, God damn it. They're not going to let us have it. They're going to break kayfabe pretty quickly, I think, if you just read at the bottom of the thing. Like, they'll let us make jokes and have fun at the top, but they are going to make absolutely certain that the actual stakes of this situation could not be clear to the end
user. I guarantee what the marketing team showed up with was, we will shut down Arby's.
Yeah.
So the promise is we close Arby's for good and give everybody all our money if we stop selling potato cakes.
And then the lawyers were like, would you settle for $1 million of Arby's food if you cancel it before December 31st? 2026, you can still say permanently, because these fucking numbskulls are definitely not going to figure this out. But is that okay? Is that a good compromise? Also, it's all fake, and we're going to tell them that it's all
the
fake.
Rest of the stuff listed here is all written in, like, jokey, like, it literally says underneath that, we're pretty sure Arby's is trademarked, but
you can't fucking walk it back. We know your heart.
That one section's like, by the way, here's some ironclad stuff. Okay.
Well, back to the jokes.
I love this. I don't love the potato cakes. They really,
you really
think...
not? I did want to check in. I call this section reality check.
Yeah.
Do you not like potato cakes?
I love potato cakes. I'm saying I don't trust Arby's to evenly fry that big a piece of potato. That's a real temperature game at that point when you're trying to fry a big, like, you know, blob of potato instead of just a French fry. A French fry is like not much potato, so you can fry that pretty evenly, pretty good. But this is
run me through, Griffin, just real quick, all the other different types of potato, the forms they come in, and how easily they are to fry.
Okay, number one, baked potato. Can't really fry one of those.
Okay.
So big, so much potato in there. A hash brown, these are a little thicker than a hash brown, right? A latke, I think, is somewhat user-friendly. A lot of people probably wouldn't think that, but they're really flat. A hash brown, you get a little bit thicker. These potato cakes are, that's a good 1.5-2 inches
deep. What about
deep.
A tot?
A tot, harder than a fry, because it is more three-dimensional, and it has like a volume to it that is more difficult to...
What about a man-sized potato?
I mean, sure, you...
And man-shaped, and same consistency.
No, so you heard me say the thing
as
that...
a man?
Yeah, like if a potato looked like a man...
A potato with the consistency of a man?
Of a man, and maybe like... like just like a man would have saying, like, no, please don't do this. I'll pay you the money I owe you. I promise.
A sentient potato man? Mr. Potato Body, you're saying?
So, I mean, you heard me say the baked potato is hard to fry. So I don't know why you think a man shaped.
Well, how long do you think it would take before that man shaped, man sized, man consistency, man begging potato?
Trav, you trying to fry a man?
What?
You trying to fry a man?
No.
Trevor, are you over there frying men, dude?
No, man. What?
Juice, I think Trav's over there frying men.
Hey, Trav.
Yeah?
Can you not be the reason that our empire crumbles, please?
I'm just saying that there's some people out there who owe me
money. People will see the headlines at the top of the paper, and it'll be like, one of the McRoy brothers, and they'll be like, fuck yeah, I knew it. And then it'll say, fries men. And they'll be like, oh, that's what? That's the thing? That's the thing that's wild.
I think, and I'm not saying I do it, but I think you'd only have to fry one man before you get the message across and everybody pays up.
I'd like to ask another question. We have a few more minutes.
Can I borrow some money, by the way, Travis? Do you have, I need like $10,000.
Yeah,
no,
I do have,
asked.
I had the Arby's lawyer draw up some paperwork you need to sign.
Oh, you're joking.
There's a lot of jokes in it.
Never mind, it's a joke.
There is a world in which 8 people sign up for this and you find yourself, Arby's just randomly stopped selling them because apparently nobody gave a shit, and you end up as the proud recipient of like $100,000 of Arby's gift cards.
That's so sick. That's what I'm saying.
It's a pretty good scam. I'd sign up for it. Or don't. It's up to you. Here's a quick question before we go. I was recently taking part in an icebreaker / get to know each other type game where we had to say something interesting about ourselves. My go-to fact was that I was on reality TV wilderness survival show Survive This Season 2 when I was 13 or 14, and I spent 2 months of the wild with little to no training or experience and made it all the way to the end of the series. I'm happy to answer a few questions for a minute or so, but don't know how to shift away from the topic nicely. How do I get people to move away from the topic without sounding bitter or rude? As fellow TV personalities, I was hoping you might have some insight. How absolutely generous of you. Proud but low-key between Peterborough and Lindsay, Ontario.
Specious premise, I will say. You are laying out a savory little morsel here, and it's too savory, and you know that it's too savory, so you can't be like, so how to get people to not nibble at it? It's the you put out the you need a conversation stopper for one of these games.
Because I agree with Griffin. The problem is you are using this as an icebreaker, which is literally a thing designed to start a conversation.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
This is a game, and then you're like, oh no.
Oh no.
I broke the ice and now they want to go through the ice.
You have been asked to break the ice and you have instead created an iceberg. That people are like, well, this is interesting. I wonder what's below this. Like, oh, I'd like to see a little bit more. And that's good, I think. But you can't be upset about that. That seems like it's working as intended. It's a pretty good story.
But there's a ton of shit you could say that I'm not going to want to know anything about, for example. Hi, everybody. I'm Griffin McRoy. My interesting fact is that I ran my first marathon this past spring. No one's going to ask you a fucking, what's the question? So did you run real fast? Like, there's no follow-up that you could possibly generate out of that.
That's true. You can get all the benefits of running a marathon almost without running it.
Yes.
If you just tell people you did.
So what you're
saying. Get the sticker, 26.2. Got it.
Whatever.
What you are theorizing, Griffin, is some sort of ice former.
Yeah.
Right? That's like, I want to actually build up the ice betwixt you and I. Or maybe we can
drop
see
that ice,
if it's
he
clear.
Drop that ice nine. Make a wall of ice.
I mean, it's fucked up that my work mandates me distributing my social currency away for free without asking me if I'm comfortable with it. Hey, Griffin, make friends. You can't make me do that because you're not my mommy or my daddy. Like, you're my boss and this is a business. Here's what I have to do for you, the boss. Type in numbers on a computer, and that's it. I don't have to make friends. I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to participate in capitalism to the degree that systems have allowed me to. That's it.
That's it. That's all you have to do.
That's all you got to lay out.
I have a rash. Hi, everybody. I'm Griffin McRoy, and I have a bad rash down there.
It's tough. That's a good anecdote. And you said in here we're fellow TV personalities, but I could never bring up My Brother, and Me as an icebreaker.
Nope.
The TV show as an icebreaker because I don't think it's possible for me to simultaneously tell someone that we made a TV show and then at the same time express them how far it was from the TV shows that they may be thinking of in their day-to-day life. Like, it's like, I did a TV show, and then I need to stop them before they like, my daughter Cooper is 7. If she's telling us a story, she says, like, don't say anything until I'm done. Don't react. Don't say woo. Don't say anything until the story's over. And I feel like that with the TV show. It's like, I did a TV show. Whoa.
Wait, stop.
No.
You need to listen.
Not like Becker.
Stop.
And everybody asks if I mean like Becker. No, not like Becker.
No. No. I'm saying it was a TV show and there were 6 of them.
Yeah.
And it shut the network down. And we made it for $1 million at our house with our best buddy, JD.
Yes.
But it was a TV show.
It was. Technically speaking,
you can't get it for free.
But it's more on the scale towards some kids cut the front out of a cardboard box.
Right.
Yes.
And maybe acted out some skits inside.
Yeah.
Except ours was locked into a tape and you can watch it online.
Exactly.
And someone somewhere may be making money off of it in some way. I don't know.
There's so much about what we do that is like the wrongest possible answer for this question of like, I don't want to admit sounds bad. I'm not ashamed of the work that we do, but I certainly don't want to talk about it at length with a bunch of strangers. And perhaps that is why we are fame-wise sort of daywalkers. When I was on the JoCo cruise last week, people said like, you probably get this all the time. I hate to bother you. No, I don't. I wicked don't. I run at pretty good stealth mode out there, actually. I can creep and crawl with the rest of them. It's really only in venues like this or immediately after one of our live shows that we get recognized.
Yeah.
Because we don't want to talk about our TV show unless.
But we do want to tell you about some live shows we have coming up.
That's where we shine. That's where you got to capture us in celluloid.
We've got more live shows coming up in the 20th Underdrive Tour. We're coming to Richmond, Virginia, doing My Brother and Me, Charlotte, North Carolina, doing Taz, and Raleigh, North Carolina, another My Brother and Me in April. We're also going to be in Michigan, Minnesota, and Ohio. All Taz shows this year are going to be Taz Versus. We just did
the first one of which I believe is either coming out this week
it's out now.
Taz Versus Romeo and Versus Juliet, and it was a hell of a lot of fun.
Tickets for all of those are on sale now. Go to bit.ly/McElroy Tours for more info and ticket links. Oh, also, very exciting. I'm coming back to 20 Sided Tavern, making my off-Broadway review, I'm going to say, this weekend on March 13th through the 16th, doing, I don't know, 5 performances, I think it is. Who can keep track? But you can find out when I'm going to be there. Get your tickets, 20sidedtavern.com. Come see me in a live-action, D&D comedy thing. 20sidedtavern.com this weekend.
Hey, there's a new hoodie up on McElroyMerch.com, and it's one of my favorites that we've probably ever put up. It is the Vasecticon hoodie, designed by Evan Palmer. It has sort of like old school, like SNES box art vibes. It's amazing, and 10% of all merch proceeds this month will be donated to Harmony House, which is an incredible organization from our hometown of Huntington that we are happy to partner up with like this. Also, next week, Max Fun Drive starts. Brace your asses. We've got so much content ready for you. You're going to fucking flip your shit. We're going to have live streams and other events going on every day of the drive. Runs for 2 weeks. So turn on notifications for our Instagram stories. Stay up to date when we're going live because we're doing
it. Break off the knob.
Break off the knob, coward. And hey, thanks to Montaigne for the use of our theme song, My Life is Better With You.
For sure.
We really do appreciate you letting us use that one. Thanks. Thank you.
Thanks.
A huge amount.
All right. Hey, I got a fear here that someone's going to be faster than I'd like to read it to you. This year, I'm going to be faster than my fear of Chinese giant salamanders possibly being around me. I don't live in China, and they are critically endangered. It's just unlikely.
My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis.
These guys are fucking huge.
They're so big.
This is Griffin McElroy.
It's been my brother, mate. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
I hope one's not near me.
Yeah.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported
directly
by you.